I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app anywhere you get your apps for your whatever type of phone you have, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app. It's the big orange A. Download it. Look for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it. You're done. You got us. It's 4:11, 72 degrees on this Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. And like all Tuesdays, we have Tuesdays with our friend Tommy Marquez, Navy veteran, a senior staffer in Congress for many years, and now he helps us navigate the veterans system for the benefits that you earned as a veteran. Tommy, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I got to ask, how was graduation last week?
It was good. Great day. Posted a picture earlier today of my daughter with Vice President J.D. Vance. First salute with Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. Tim Parlator was there. Andrea was there. It was a great event.
Well, congratulations. It is a tremendous amount of work that she had to go through to get that. You know, you have your son, I know, who also went to the Naval Academy. And you got to be super proud of all your children because they've all done really well. All three of them look like a really wonderful family. And I want to tell you, Rob, that doesn't happen by accident. I 100% believe that they are that, you know, high achievers because of your wife. I'm sure.
100%. 100%.
Now, all jokes aside, Rob, I know you've been a major influence on them, as you have for all of us. And congratulations. Those things don't happen by accident, and it takes a village. And I'm sure that, you know, I always see them, and it looks like they really love you. That's awesome, man. I'm proud for your whole family.
What was great leading up to this week, and we saw some pictures with your niece at West Point, is Eddie, Sean, Eddie's brother, were able to get Eddie's dad back, who was a West Point graduate, was able to get up there. He's been, you know, fighting a couple of illnesses. But they were able to get him there and take him around West Point as a family. And your niece is attending West Point now and was able to meet them and show them around as well. So it's been a great 2 weeks, Eddie was telling me, for him in the service academies.
Yeah, I'm sure Eddie must be cringing being at both Naval Academy and West Point.
I asked him if he was breaking into hives because all the officers around him. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. But my niece was really honored to get to meet Navy Chief, Chief Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher and their whole family, and Mr. Gallagher Sr., Lieutenant Colonel, retired, you know, Army Ranger. It's always an honor to meet, you know, these individuals who went to those academies, because I trash officers left and right. But I know the reality is, it is such hard work to get into any of those schools. It doesn't happen by accident. And when you're there, you're going to work really, really hard, as my niece is learning now, wrapping up her sophomore year. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of dedication and sacrifice. So it's nice, you know, that we have somebody there, and we just need some Air Force Academy grads to be in our other kids from our group. That'd be great.
Well, we still got some time and some young ones.
That's it. I wanted to talk to you about Memorial Day, too, since it was Memorial Day, and we missed things. You know, the last couple of years, Rob, I kind of got a lot of crap from people online when I was talking about Memorial Day. I would always do a message on Memorial Day, you know, acknowledging my friends who I lost and all service members who died in the line of service, because that's what Memorial Day is. And I would also, prior to Memorial Day, I would do a video on discounts. Of course, you alert everyone of the discounts prior to Memorial Day. That way they could do planning, because there's huge amount of discounts on those days. And I'm not just talking about goods. There's dinners, there's lunches. at a crazy rate. You know, Perry's, Papa Bros, Outback Steakhouse, pretty much you name it, they give a discount for veterans that day, and they do some phenomenal deals that some people might otherwise miss if they didn't know it in advance. So I always do it first so that people could plan. And then I would do the Memorial Day message on Memorial Day, which is just custom. And I would get a lot of messages from people. You know, majority of them were thankful, and they appreciated the information. But I think I talked to you about this before, Rob, where individuals would say, hey, this isn't what Memorial Day is about. You know, really nasty tone. How dare you, you know, kind of trash the honor of the fallen by talking about discounts and barbecuing and, you know, going to a bar and getting a discount on a TV and things like that. Well, I wasn't doing that. I want to make sure everybody understands that. I can't release the Memorial Day message, guys, until Memorial Day. Sorry, but I was just letting everybody know about the discounts in advance. And I started to take on that same mindset of like, hey, like everyone else, and Memorial Day is a very somber day for me in actuality. I don't do much. When I worked in Congress, one of the things we did in San Diego, Rob, with the congressman and I, who was also a combat veteran, we ran around to different cemeteries in San Diego, and essentially we'd go to 6 funerals. They would have memorial services, and, you know, people would come up to us that they had lost their son, their daughter in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, their brother was missing, things like that. And it was a very sad day, and it was about 8-9 hours of ceremonies. They weren't a lot of fun, and it was okay. We were proud to be there, and we were, you know, that's part of what we do when you work in Congress on those holidays. We got that. But I took it in personally with everyone was saying. But then I heard a message yesterday, and I just wanted to share it with everyone, because I decided to do nothing yesterday only because I didn't want to celebrate the day, and I didn't want to, you know, trash the honor of those who have fallen. And another Navy SEAL by the name of Jason Redmond, who's a wonderful author, combat veteran, Purple Heart recipient, he created a post about not being upset with other individuals who decide to have that day to however they want to make it whatever they want to be. So the best way to honor the fallen is to do what you've earned. And everyone who served has earned to manage through that day any way they want. And he thought that if you believe that you should go out and barbecue or go to a discount meal or go shopping or just spend the day with your family, that's just as honorable as going to a cemetery and honoring the fallen. Because when he dies, he doesn't want everyone sitting around and crying for him. And so I thought about that, and I got to tell you, Rob, it really struck me. So I texted several of my friends, and we were all saying the same thing, that we didn't go out that day. And I texted my buddy, Duncan Hunter, the former congressman, and I said, did you go out today? He says, no, you know, I hate today, just like you, because we always had to do that, and it's hard. We don't want to go out and have to, you know, kind of face the fire of everyone if we're having a good time. And I talked to him about it, and we kind of came up with a consensus. And so I'm going to actually start spreading this message, and I'm starting here on your show, Rob. If you served and you lost someone, you get to honor them any which way you want. And when I die, whenever that may be, whether it's tomorrow or 20 to 40 years from now, I hope that everybody has a barbecue and that you guys make tacos and smoke a cigar. And if you want to do something for me, do that, because I don't want you sitting around crying for me. And from this day forward on Memorial Day, so I'm not going to sit around and cry for the fallen anymore. I'm going to honor them in the best way I know how, and that's making some really good carne asada and enjoying it with my family. And I'll definitely say a prayer for them, but I think I'm done. And it's okay if other people are done too with sitting and crying and feeling bad about the days and those who have lost. I want to honor them by doing something good with my time. So that's what I plan to do from here on forward on Memorial Day, Rob.
No doubt, Tommy. I spoke to a lot of individuals this week, and I actually had Tom Feeks, who was Patrick Feeks, Navy SEAL from SEAL Team 3 in 2012. Well, his dad was at my daughter's commissioning party, and I was able to sit down with him for about 45 minutes, just him and I. And we had a long conversation. Mm-hmm. I started the show off talking about that. today, how much that conversation meant to me this week with everything else going on, the pomp and circumstance. And he was telling me everything that was going on there. And one of the things that resonated between everyone I was talking to today, be it Eddie, be it, Tim, be it anyone who was around, was, those guys and those girls looking down, they wouldn't want their brothers and their sisters, moping around, sitting around. That just wasn't how they lived. Just wasn't, right. the team members they were, the men to the and women to the left and the right of who they were. And they said they'd be the first to kick us in the ass if they saw us just moping around on this day and not living our lives to the best of our ability because of their sacrifice, because they knew what their sacrifice was. They knew it. They accepted it the second they put that uniform on, the second, that day began, whenever that the tragic incident happened. And, so I agree there. You've more, if you have worn our nation's uniform, you've more than earned the right to deal with Memorial Day any way that comforts you to this day, comforts your family to this day. And that's spending time with them. If that's celebrating life and as an American, then that's what it is.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I have a new perspective on it, thanks to Mr. Redmond. I just wanted to share it here because for so many years, Rob, it's been a day that I don't look forward to. And I see other people, chastising others for enjoying themselves on this day. But I think I'm going to just take it in stride now and pay my respects in my own way.
Sounds good, my friend. Tommy, I appreciate you joining us on this day. And lots to look forward to moving forward.
Absolutely. And again, congratulations on your daughter. I look forward to seeing her career as a Marine Corps officer, Rob.
I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 426, coming up on 427, 71 degrees on this Tuesday, May 27th. Well, I like this idea. Anything that brings back more community relations, anything that, gets kids involved with local law enforcement, I like the idea. And I think this is a good idea. Now, trading cards are not the same level as they were, I guess, when I was a kid, when a lot of you were kids, where, the trading cards were a big deal. And I guess they're still out there, and they're different. I guess the trading card thing has morphed to more of these Pokemon cards or whatever there is now. But the Wilkes-Barre Police is bringing back trading card tradition and community outreach effort, where officers, canines, and units will have their own trading cards. And these have been paid for by donations and sponsors for these cards, so it's not coming out of taxpayer dollars. I think it's a good thing. Now, there has been some intel in parts of the nation where these cards have been used for nefarious reasons as far as identifying officers and, knowing what they look like and their names and such, which, I do also get. But in for the most part, for where they're being used, it appears that kids in school are already garnishing to whose they can collect and how many they can collect, and I like that idea. I think in coordination with this, let's just not stop at trading cards. Let's get our local law enforcement involved in as much as we can as far as what our youth does. Youth sports, youth events. It would be good to see. Listen, every Friday night light football game we have here, there's usually a handful of police officers at each event. If you are a local law enforcement out there, stop by practices of these teams. Stop by the junior practices of football, baseball, girls softball, lacrosse, whatever teams are out there. And I don't care if they're age 6 up into high school. Go and stop by. If you're doing your routine patrol, go hang out at a sports practice. Go hang out at band practice. Go, hang out at whatever organized activities your local youth environments are having, be it school, be it church, be it, youth programs out there doing junior sports. Get involved at that level. Introduce yourself to the kids. High-five the kids. Shake the kids' hands. Talk to the kids. Talk to the parents. Get into conversations to where you have a rapport with everyone around you. Let's just not stop at handing trading cards and having a short conversation. Let's make this part of your routine. Part of your routine. And a lot of you do it. Don't get me wrong. But I think it should be more so the mainstay, especially when we see the juvenile problems that we're having. the more you can get involved with that ecosphere, the juvenile ecosphere, the more you may find out about something before it happens. You know, somebody might say something that might not mean much to them, but, you know, it clicks with you for something to maybe watch out for. Get into conversations with these kids. Get into conversations with the parents. Have the kids introduce you to their friends that you haven't met yet. You know, say, hey, is there any friends here that you have that I haven't met yet? That's where these rapports start. That's where these events happen. And again, it could be your local religious organizations. It could be your youth sports, your high school sports. You know, if your school shop programs are doing something, you know, outside of school hours. You know, the school resource officers are really good at this, but let's just not stop there. It should be everyone, because just not a school resource officer is going to respond to, you know, a call at 11 at night. So if you're out there, out and about, and you see these sports practices happening, you see these carnivals, you see these things happening, even if you're not assigned there, go out there and interact with not only the kids, because that's an extremely important part, but their parents too. You know, maybe kids might feel uneasy about someone in uniform. You know, you use that opportunity to make it a positive. Maybe parents are uneasy about you being around. Make it a positive. Humanize the badge. Humanize your uniform to where, you know, a lot of you in uniform are members of this community too. A lot of people know you from there, but some don't. So I applaud this effort. I think it's a great idea. This was done way back when. And, you know, I'd like to see it expanded upon. So let's make it happen. It's 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day. Three Pennsylvania law enforcement professionals made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, Tuesday, May 27th. We're going to start off with Patrolman Richard Gordon Jankowitz, Avoca Borough Police Department in 1986.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
He was shot and killed while investigating a suspicious vehicle parked in the woods near the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Airport. As he approached the vehicle, the man emerged from the woods. Patrolman Jankowski asked the man for an identification. The man went to his car, produced a handgun, began firing at the patrolman. He was struck once in the chest, but before collapsing, returned fire and wounded the suspect. The suspect then walked over to patrolman and shot him in the head. The suspect then committed suicide. Served with the Avoca Police Department for 3 months. He was survived by his wife and mother. Police Officer Donald Allen Oldfield, Philadelphia Police Department in 1982, suffered a fatal heart attack in the Northeast Detective Division shortly after making an arrest. He was at the home when he was witnessed a neighbor strike his son with a weed trimmer. Officer Oldfield attempted to arrest the man, and a struggle ensued that lasted several minutes until responding officers arrived to help take the suspect into custody. Followed the responding officers to the police station to make a report. As he was being interviewed by detectives, he suffered a heart attack. Patrolman Alvin Earl Brandt, Scranton Police Department in Pennsylvania, in 1931, succumbed to injuries sustained a week earlier when he was struck by a vehicle while directing traffic around a construction site. Patrolman Brandt was a U.S. veteran of World War I, was survived by his wife and two children. Again, that was 1931. And those are our three from here in Pennsylvania. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick. Joe.
Yes. Hello, Rob. Hey, I have a question here for you. The officers who go into those boats up there and they patrol the harbor in the city, are they NYPD officers?
If they're in the NYPD patrol boats, yes, they are.
Okay. Is that, where I worked, I had what was considered by many a coveted job. You know, it was a a bid job and you had to use your get seniority and you would retire off that job. Is that how those jobs are, or are they like a bid job that senior guys get?
Yeah, harbor. It's the NYPD harbor unit. We have several. I think we have like close to 20, 25 boats that patrol the waters around New York City.
Okay. Did you know any of those guys?
I did.
Okay, because that seems to me like that'd be a great job. Like, it seems to me kind of job a person would really enjoy doing.
Well, yes and no. They're all also our divers. Our dive teams are assigned to them as well. They also recover any bodies from the water and such like that. So there are days where it's really good and there's days where it's really not. You know, if you've ever been on the water of the Hudson River in the middle of winter, it's not so pleasant.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. That's not something I thought about, but I could definitely. Yeah. And it's just like, the job I had, it was a great job, but it was about the most dangerous job there was because, a lot of officers, did get killed in transport because of, escapes and whatnot. So even though, thank goodness, I never, got into a situation like that, yeah, things could go really bad real quickly when you're transporting inmates outside the institution.
Yeah, we've lost several members of our harbor unit to incidents that have happened. So, it does have its own dangers.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's just something, I was thinking about, and I thought I'd ask you about one of these days. Thank you, Robin. You have a great day then.
Thank you, Joe. You as well. It's 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. I'm going to start with the Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, increasing clouds with showers likely, a low of 53. Wednesday, clouds with on and off showers, a high of 63. And Thursday, clouds with some breaks in sun with also a chance of that showers again, a high of 70. It is currently 71 degrees here at 4:41 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? So let's see. On this date of May 27th, we have 1830. The Indian Removal Act was signed. President Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act, authorizing the relocation of Native American tribes to lands west of the Mississippi River, leading to a tragic trail of tears. 1933, the Federal Securities Act enacted as part of the New Deal. This act was signed into law requiring securities to be registered with the Federal Trade Commission, aiming to restore investor confidence during the Great Depression. 1941, the Unlimited National Emergency declared. Response to escalating global tensions during World War II, President Franklin D. Roosevelt proclaimed the Unlimited National Emergency, enhancing U.S. defense readiness. 1941, the sinking of the Bismarck. The British Royal Navy sank the German battleship Bismarck in the North Atlantic, marking a pivotal naval victory during World War II. 1943, Louis Zamperini's plane crashed. U.S. Olympian and airman Louis Zamperini, B-24, crashed into the Pacific Ocean, survived 47 days adrift before being captured by Japanese and during 2 years as a POW. 1930, the Chrysler Building opens. The iconic Art Deco skyscraper in New York City opened to the public, briefly becoming the world's tallest building. If you have never seen the Chrysler Building up close, and I understand it's a long time, 1930, but if you've ever seen it up close or can visit it, I highly recommend you do. 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge opens to pedestrians. San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge opened for pedestrian traffic while approximately 200,000 people crossed it on the first day. 1963, Bob Dylan's The Freewheelin' Bob Dylan released. This album, featuring songs like Blowin' in the Wind, solidifying Dylan's status as a leading voice in folk music and social commentary. 1986, the Super Soaker was patented. Inventor Lonnie Johnson received a patent for the Super Soaker water gun, which became one of the most popular toys in the U.S. What do you have? Some notable birthdays. 1911, Vincent Price, renowned actor known for his distinctive voice and performances in horror films. 1911, also Hubert Humphrey, 37th Vice President of the United States and prominent political figure in the mid-20th century. 1923, Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, influential to U.S. foreign policy during the 70s. And 1975, Andre 3000, rapper, member of the hip-hop duo Outkast, celebrated for his innovative contributions to music. And I did also see that Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty clan, the head of it, passed away, 79. And yeah, I got into Duck Dynasty for a while. I've met both both sons, one of them at the Harrisburg Outdoor Show. But it's a not a perfect life by far. He'd be the first to admit that he was, in fact, you know, a sinner for many years. He did find God. And, you know, he basically built an empire around that and stuck with his Christian values. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that. Well-known football player. I think he was Terry Bradshaw his backup, or was he Terry Bradshaw was his backup, right? Yeah. So, you know, he had some skills. He did have offers, but he liked to be in the woods doing his thing. And with the life he was living back then, pro football probably wouldn't have been the best life choice for him, because it sounds like that it took him a while to find his way. And, you know, raised a large family, and I enjoyed the series Duck Dynasty, and I'm sure many of you did as well. I know a lot of our hunters from our area, you know, especially friends like Nate Hosey, who gave us our song for our Remember Our Heroes tribute, knew the family pretty well, hunted with the family. So, you know, our condolences go to the Robertson's family. And it was, you know, even my kids reached out and said, you know, when they heard if it was true or not. So, you know, that's one of the notable deaths that came across our airways. And it's there was an interview with Phil Robertson where he said, when I pass, when I move on to join the Lord, don't cry for me. And his family, you know, gave a couple of interviews over the past 24, 48 hours since the news got out of it, and basically said, you know, that they're going to honor their dad's wishes. And I get it. I get it, because it's a conversation that I've had with my family and such. What, you know, what would I like to see, you know, when I pass? And I don't want a funeral. I don't want one of those, you know, big where people line up to walk past a casket. I don't want to be remembered in that way. I want to have, you know, get it catered, get a bar, have a good time, have music playing, have my friends socialize and tell stories, good times and such like that. And that's just the way I'd like it. And I've relayed that to my wife. I've relayed that to my kids. That, and I've also told my kids that if for some reason, you know, I start losing my memory, make up great stories of things I did. You know, like I was the first astronaut on Mars and stuff like that. So that's kind of the conversations that I have there, and that's where they go. But I do get that, you know, listen, I'm in a better place, especially if you have faith, and don't feel sorry for me, and I want you to celebrate my life, not mourn my death. And it sounds like that's exactly what he wanted as well. So our condolences, but, you know, made our lives enjoyable if you were a fan of Duck Dynasty. It's coming up on 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, Memorial Day, well, it was just another day for a lot of people. Memorial Day mass shootings in a Philadelphia park leaves 2 dead and 8 injured. Yeah, let me guess who was involved here. Being juveniles? Yeah, Yeah, indeed. Both the victims and some of the people involved. Mass shooting in Philadelphia Monday night has left at least two people dead, eight others injured as gunfire, according to reports. Two of the shooting victims are juveniles, although their precise ages are not yet known. The shooting occurred at Fairmont Park around 10:30 p.m. near the corner of Lemon Hill Drive and Poplar Drive. Bullets rang out during a cookout in the park with a large crowd. Now, go figure. This is 10:30 at night, Monday night. You know, most of us should have to be at work on Tuesday morning, right? Or at least Tuesday. But 10:30 at night, yep, they were ripping up the barbecue and shooting up the parks. It was a drive-by, one witness said. Everyone scattered. Another said, adding that two people dropped after the gunfire. Shooting happened at a car meetup. Additional victim was taken to the hospital after being hit by a car in the chaos that erupted in the wake of the shooting. Fairmont Park was busy all day with cookouts and family activities on Memorial Day. Police shut down the park following the shooting as the investigation was ongoing. Yeah, go figure, right? Go figure indeed. And that wasn't the only mayhem that we've seen. Popular destination, not far from us. 73 people were arrested, including 21 kids, during a Memorial Day weekend mayhem that closed a popular Jersey Shore boardwalk. Yeah, probably someplace that we've all been to or are all going to, maybe for a short weekend this summer. A spat of stabbings and fights led to the closure of the beloved boardwalk and arrest of more than 70 people, including 21 minors, as tens of thousands of revelers descended on the Jersey Shore for Memorial Day weekend. The violence unfolded during the 72-hour span, began on early Friday, and then ended around 6 a.m. Monday in Seaside Heights. Despite measures taken to prevent any issue from similar bout of chaotic violence that broke out over last year's long holiday weekend, officers arrested 52 adults and 21 juveniles over this weekend, Seaside Heights detective told reporters. All of the young men who were stabbed within a block of the famed boardwalk refused to cooperate with investigators, so there were no arrests made. The popular two-mile stretch, which features two amusement parks, piers, arcades, another attraction, was temporarily closed by the police chief after the third stabbing just after midnight Monday in a proactive approach to ensure public safety. It was not clear how long the boardwalk was closed to revelers. Among those arrested was a 20-year-old man from nearby Beechwood who was collared after officers responded to a 911 call about a fight. He was charged with possession of a firearm, possession of a weapon, and unlawful purpose, resisting arrest and obstruction. Amid the mayhem, pedestrians in Seaside Park were struck with a car and taken by helicopter to the hospital. Cops said the Seaside Heights welcome an estimated 100,000 visitors over the Memorial Day weekend. Now, they had similar incidents last year. And here you go again. 21 juveniles arrested. Where are their families? This is what Memorial Day, I guess, is for a lot of people. Now, listen, Memorial Day is the kickoff of the summer. I get it. You want to set aside the true meaning of Memorial Day. You know, it's the beginning of the summer. I think a lot of people see it, you know, myself included. I think I have a greater understanding, as well as many of you do, about the true meaning of the day, but it is still the start, the unofficial start of the summer. But here you have these areas, and this happens everywhere for different reasons for these get-togethers. It could be Orange Crush in Tybee Island, Georgia. It's, you know, the Seaside Heights, the boardwalk. It's the Jersey Shore. It's Florida during spring break. These things are happening more and more, and the crowds are getting younger and younger. And we constantly get into the conversations as how parents of these youths, of these juveniles, are failing them or just don't care. And one or the other, something needs to be done. And that's either changing the direction of these youths at a young enough age to where this is not what they think. Change the juvenile justice system to where there are actual consequences that try to stop, encourage these kids not to commit these acts. But, you know, it appears, you know, just these two stories, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.